I thank the Lord for the small remnant here, and I trust that we have been counted worthy to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Luke 18:6, and you remember that you can almost hear the lament of the Lord, "When I come, will I find faith? But when the Son of Man cometh," and that relates right to Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh." How many will agree on the day of the Lord? How many would agree on the day of Christ? And so we find that God had to do a work and a remnant, certainly in us, to be able to say, "This is the day of the Lord." I know it looks absolutely incredible to people, but it's breaking in the heavens. It's not breaking on the earth yet. It's breaking in the heavens, and I believe the day of Christ is breaking in the heavens, and we will see the results of that. But just to stand means everything to the Lord, everything. And I can tell you, Malachi, he said of a remnant that he comprised a book, remember, of remembrance. And they were individuals that stood in that time of great apostasy in Israel. Malachi preceded almost 400 years when the Lord didn't even speak to his people till John the Baptist stood basically on the Jordan. He began to speak. Of course, there was the birth of Christ and the birth of John before. But I say to you again how important that they stood in that gap, and it was, they made it possible for Israel to come through those 400 years. I need to study that again, because 400 years is given all over. Certainly Abraham said, "Your seed is going down into a strange land 400 years. And he said to Ezekiel to lay on one side and then on the other, but it was a total of 400 days. But God, you know, these times are coming, and we've been through a lot of waiting. I don't know what it will be like when the Lord begins to move by his Spirit. I will be so thankful and so worshipful over it. I truly will. Now, the Lord was seeking an agreement. And I don't know why the Lord laid Matthew 18 on my heart just about an hour before I came, but it is an agreement. And it got so large, I think I'm probably not ready yet to minister on it. But the first agreement ever before there were two or three, and you go through Matthew 18, it takes two or three as a witness of someone that may have committed something or not. Then there also speaks of two or three gathering together, two or three of you, and there am I in the midst comprising an agreement. But, you know, this is a tremendous chapter, and I need to minister on it at length, because an agreement, and remember who made the first agreement? The Trinity, right? The two or three, and that included Christ in the flesh, as he had to furnish that agreement with the Trinity to go through to Calvary and to complete the plan of God. And so agreement is not two or three people standing up and saying, "We agree." And I want us to understand that it takes us to be in agreement with the Trinity, and we have to be walking with the Lord. If I think that's in, I forget what book right now, I can't remember, but anyway, if any two or three of you agree, I know you know that. But there was also, I think that's in Amos, I do, but I'll go back and check it again. What kind of faith? You know, a lot of people think, well, we'll hold hands and just agree, and I think that's possible. But the agreement has to go back with the Godhead. Then the agreement extends to the apostolic or the faith and what those apostles stood for. And we've been over that. I know I keep beating on this drum, but it took three of them to bring in the agreement on God's plan. It took the Apostle Peter and martyrdom in Rome. It took Paul, and you know all that he went through just getting through the Acts 27 storm to Rome to furnish the agreement, and the two of them agreed concerning the faith once delivered. And they could not have done that if they were not in agreement with the Trinity. So if we're not walking with God, we can't have that agreement. And so it really is a binding indeed. And then you think about, there's two there, then it took John, the third one, and John the Apostle on the Mount, not Mount, but in Patmos. Think about all that he went through those years that he had to stand all alone, but he arrived in Patmos to be pastor of Ephesus, and he furnished an agreement with the other two in his writings. He sealed the faith. You say, how did he do that? He sealed the church age. He sealed the kingdom age in the book of Revelation. But it would not have meant anything if he weren't in agreement with the Lord. And this is why, even as small as we are, now this is really my message tonight after what you said. It's a miracle that there were two or three and a remnant that could possibly furnish an agreement even in these last days. Absolutely a miracle of God. And I think you know the agreement of Peter, Paul, and eventually John. They were in agreement basically back to Abraham's two seed lines. God promised Abraham that his seed, Genesis 13, as the sands of the sea, Israel, his seed as the church, as the stars of heaven. They couldn't even number them, and now we know why the Lord said that. He said to him, look up and number the stars. Now go to some of our photos today, and there's no way to number those stars. So is God's plan much greater than what we think? I think so. I don't know what that means totally, but I do know this, that they had the strength to bring down the Roman Empire. And it fell apart in 500 AD, and the church filled the Dark Ages in between. But after that, the Reformation really, really was almost a death blow to the church. It will never again have the place that it had, because the Reformation, the Protestant movements, and all that happened. Now, I won't go back to that. But it really is a miracle. Isaiah 59, when the Lord came down. Now, this was not at his second advent, but his first advent. When he came down to begin with, and that I don't know the time of that, but it had to be in these last days sometime, he lamented that there was no discernment. He did. And he lamented there were no intercessors and no man basically to stand in the gap, and no man cared. I want to say to you that you that have been raised up, you are a miracle of God's working, because we weren't there. And it's taken us a long time to make intercession. I'm not sure what that intercession should be yet. I'm asking the Lord how do we intercede? What do we intercede for? What is it you want to hear from us? It's so important to understand so that the prayers can be answered, because he said if any two or three agree, the Lord would indeed bring it to pass in heaven and in earth. So this is powerful teaching and powerful strength here, if we can lay hold of it. Now this is higher ground. I thought of Dana's song. All the songs tonight were so beautiful. The old account was settled. Jesus, someone paid your bill. Amen. Somebody paid your bill. You owed it. That's the point. And then finally, I want higher ground. That was such a beautiful request because that's where you're in agreement with the Godhead. When you begin to stand on heaven's table land, two or three can remove a mountain. And that's, oh my goodness, the Lord said that if you have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be removed. Well, you'd only furnish an agreement because the Lord already has spoken that concerning Israel. When he spoke that, Israel was cast into the sea of the Gentiles. Think about it. Praise the Lord. I don't praise him for that, but I know that it had a purpose. Then he also later spoke of two or three standing and a mountain would be removed, and that's going to be Babylon in the very last days, especially for Israel. All I'm saying is sometimes people don't understand agreement. They don't understand. And so when the Lord needed agreement, I think he genuinely wondered if he was going to have that, and I think he has furnished it himself in raising us up. Now, I want to say that we have been through a real trial under the dark hat of Satan on the left. And many people just thought, well, this will be over. But we're just now learning the depths of this. Some have studied more than others, but it doesn't matter. It's going to come out. But the fact that we are turning to the right, somebody made an agreement with the Lord. He had to find two or three. Think about that. You're watching it turn to the right. But there will be retaliation. I have never thought that things would just settle immediately. But I do believe we should focus on God's divine protection. Yes, there's going to be, I hear everything. I don't know what if you're listening, but I'm hearing this threat, that threat, this shaking. I thought, Lord, what do I do? And I thought, well, it's better to depend on him and to know that the protection will be just as great as the threat is. And we will come through this time. But this Iranian and Israel conflict is opening up many things, many fissures. Did we know they were even in our nation to the extent they were? No, I did not. And then all over the world, it was a worldwide fissures or fractions. And so it amazes me how that the Roman Empire, and I'm not going to speak on that right now, but the Roman Empire could re-emerge after it had been indeed rebuked by the Lord through the two apostles and John. It was out of divine order, absolutely. But it re-emerged in a fashion in this left because it was putting us under Europe. It truly was. And that was well designed by someone, and I don't think it's on the light side. But it was a very dark plot. But I do believe the falling away in the church is yet to be understood. Now, this that took place in our nation, it had deep roots. And sometimes you want to go back and read. Sometimes we don't want to. But they're saying it really transpired over 100 years ago. Started. It did. With the Federal Reserve. Some of you have read on that. I have. Our Federal Reserve became a private institution. Most people don't know that. And we pay the interest on our debt to private entities. And these entities became very wealthy families, both here and abroad. And they really owned the world system. They basically did. And so they say that our present problems now in our own institutions, we could go back easily 40 years ago, and this plot began to be laid for our nation. Now that also matches the falling away in the church. It really does. I remember in 1967, there began to be a distinct falling away in the church. I think that was a date certain. I really do. And we don't have to go back. We don't have to understand this. I don't even ask you to. But you're going to see it unfold. And it would prepare us to understand as it unfolds that something this deep, this wide, is probably not just going to go away in the morning. Amen? It probably isn't. And so we open our heart to that extent. And the other thing, I thought about the falling away in the church and how the enemy plotted the captivity of the church. That went way back to the green tree, the early church. Satan plotted against the gospel, the early church, and he saw our nation was founded upon the gospel. It was. We were a very religious nation that went to church, carried the gospel, stood by Israel. And I still believe God is with this nation with all of my heart. I do. But as the church, so goes the nation. And the church began to fall away. And I think it might be necessary for us to look at the roots of that. And we probably are going to have lessons to understand how deep the apostasy is in the church. We're going to walk through it, and the Lord will help us. But it's at very great depths. We are at the dry tree. And right now, we have to understand some of these depths to understand the times of restoration in our nation. And I say that because many things are going to transpire we're not going to understand. But just trust the Lord that He is moving us in the proper direction. You won't understand everything, you won't. But to trust Him that He has to do what He has to do to restore our nation. You can't get up tomorrow morning and say, well, this. No. It is far deeper. So we are being asked to understand the depth of that. And then help us to grasp what's going to come in on the right. Yes. The depths of what will be spiritual wickedness. We haven't seen that yet. But it's going to come in a way, and the Lord spent most of His time preparing His disciples, and most of the writing in the Word of God is against the light side. It truly is. Why? Because you don't really need discernment for the carnal sins. We can discern those. We may not know the depth of all of it, but nonetheless, we can discern it. And so, I want to think, first of all, that we must grasp that we are going to make a turn to the right. It isn't going to go back to the left, but it may look like it at times. So be sure you just trust the Lord. Going to be probably some shakings, some things that are going to look ominous to us. But we can trust the Lord. But don't just trust him. We'll go back to the more sure word of prophecy and the faith once delivered. Don't try doing that on your own. It won't work. You have to go back on based on the word of God, and that's based in the Trinity. Then you'll get God's attention and the Holy Spirit's attention, and that is the kind of power that's in just two or three. Now, as we make a turn to the right, we must understand the depths of Babylon, and I've been over much of that for over a year. I think I was the only one speaking very much on it, and it wasn't even evident then, but I knew the Lord had laid it on my heart. But the depths of religious wickedness go all the way back to Babylon the Great. And it's also rooted back in the mystery of iniquity. That's deep. But we are warned about Babylon in Genesis 11. Why were you warned about it in Genesis 11? Because it was going to be the one thing that would really threaten the church, threaten Israel, and it must be overcome. So as you go back to the Tower of Babel, that was the time the Lord came down. He didn't come down for many other times, but he came down to see what men were building. And he saw they were trying to make something that looked like his kingdom, but it was false. It was under the god of this world. The worship at the Tower of Babel was astrology, stargazing. And they went up there and they were worshiping that it was going to bring in a world kingdom. That's why they were of all one mind and one accord. This concerned the Lord. And this is why, as we turn to the right, God is going to become very, very concerned about this turn that's coming in the nation. So we would do well to understand these roots that go way back, not only to the Tower of Babel, but to Daniel's great kingdom. What a study in the book of Daniel. And it would be impossible to understand Revelation without understanding Daniel. You just could not. They are very much joined together. Now, the other thing is, the church has deep roots, deeper roots. So does Israel. We're rooted back into the Godhead. That's true. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are rooted into the Godhead. So you come down to a place where you understand Satan is the author of Babylon and the way he's going to come. And God has his plan and purpose. And that is what these last days are going to be, a great controversy. But the church is rooted in the Godhead. Israel is rooted in the Godhead. Both of them were rooted back to the Abrahamic covenant, which was God. God that spoke to Abraham. Now, I've never been able to speak on some of these things, but I can tell you that Abraham knew God in a measure, and I want to do that. You remember when Jerry gave a study on the names of God? All the El names, Elohim, El Shaddai, El Halon, help me out if you can think of some of them, but there's a number of them, and Abraham came into that knowledge back there. And I believe Job did as well. But they were conversant with God. They were. After that, they were all Jehovah this, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah, all of those after, because those were laid after, those names began to be revealed after Isaac was born and after Isaac was sacrificed. But before that, they laid hold of that El Shaddai, the ones. So they had a marvelous roots back to God. And those two covenants, the covenant for the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven, are rooted back to God. Amen. And Christ then became the one through whom God was going to bring all this. He became the seed through whom he was going to work. And so you see that we have to grasp many of these things, that our roots go all the way back here. Now, not everybody knows that, but you do. And so we can stand in these days. Now, I had another scripture I was going to bring out. 2 Thessalonians 2. And this I received going out right before I left home. The Lord, I felt, spoke these scriptures to me. The church is going to go through a great shaking. Most of them do not understand their salvation. What a shame during these times of great shaking. But in Thessalonians, this scripture came to me. I don't know why. Now we beseech you, brother, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. There is a foreshadowing there that God is going to gather a rank out unto himself. It's in 2 Thessalonians. When he addresses the full overcomers, he speaks mostly to them in 1 Thessalonians. And remember, you have no need that I write the seasons or times and seasons. You know all this perfectly. So there would be saints that would understand these things at the time of the end. And then he's speaking here of a great shaking that's going to come to the church after the Lord begins to gather his people unto himself, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The church is going to have to come into a knowledge of some things. For in verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. They are going to learn very much how to lay hold upon the Lord and hold and hinder. This second company will hold the Antichrist back. It's right here in Scripture. But now he says, now you know what withholdeth. What is it? The Pauline revelation. There's nothing else that's going to hold. It isn't the Holy Spirit, and he's taken away. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave here at all. He's here all the way through the tribulation. People can call out at any time to God. But he's going to certainly reveal many things to the second company. And they're going to learn how to hold with God and to hinder the Antichrist. Now, we may not see that. We will hinder many things up till then. We will. But once we're taken out of the way, everything that's coming on the first company is going to rush in on the second company. And so they're going to need much from us. And so, thank God for the times of restoration and this last visitation of the Holy Spirit. It isn't something to just rejoice in. It is absolutely necessary. The latter church, even the first company, it's going to be difficult to get out of here apart from this great outpour of the Holy Spirit. Because we are not in the green tea, but we are in the dry tree. Now, one more scripture, and then I'm going to close. My message didn't go as I thought, but I want to go back to Amos. You know, so many things just break. I just have a hard time putting my arms around all that's breaking. That's all I can tell you. Nothing else can I can say. That there's coming so much that's going to break. I was telling Jerry tonight, I said, sometimes I feel like I'm still running with a footman, you know, and all of a sudden I'm feeling this rushing. And I know it isn't come fully on us yet, but I'm feeling a rushing, and I feel like I'm back walking with a footman, strolling in Babylon. And I said, Lord, help me. I can't possibly carry this without a real quickening from you. And I think that's going to come in the Holy Spirit, quickening our mortal bodies, quickening our minds. And I just pray for that. I do. But in Amos 8:11, behold, this scripture is loaded. And I quoted it many times, but today was different. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine. Now, sometimes we think a famine is because we've just fallen away from the word, and that brings in a famine for the word of God. It does. But that's induced by falling away. But the Lord said, I'm going to send a famine. What kind of famine is that then? Wow. That's one you can't reverse. It's going to take, first of all, the Lord's intercession, an agreement in the Godhead. Then it's going to take an agreement down here with him to bring in this move of the Holy Ghost that's coming, because God has already said, I have sent a famine for the word of God. Not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but a hearing of the word of the Lord. And when that famine comes in, then it automatically produces a drought where there's no rain. That too is something that the Lord has ushered in. There is no rain. Even though you pray and cry, there is no rain. We feel it here in the services. I can tell you that is not true in very many places, but the Holy Spirit settles down, then he lifts, then he settles down. I know he does. But when God pronounces a famine and a drought, it reminds you of the days of Elijah. Did. There was no rain. He sentenced Israel. 3.5 years, there'll be no rain. Then there did come the great Geshem outpour. But it had to be made with intercession. Remember Elijah. It didn't just fall. Elijah made intercession 7 times. Now that 7 times was understanding the apostasy. We're at the 7th stage, and we can only make intercession 7 times as we understand the great falling away. We're at the 7th stage. And so he went and prayed 7 times. He went the first time, and his servant, he had him watch to see if there was going to be rain. And he said, there's nothing. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. There's nothing. I have. And I felt like in this little meeting we've preached and poured out our heart for years. And I felt, Lord, you're not going to leave us like this. You can't. But nonetheless, it is taking just that to understand the depths of all of this, the depths of apostasy, the depths our nation was in, the depths the church was in, the depths of all of this. Do you understand? And then we have to go back to our roots and lay hold on the Trinity, which they are in agreement. But we have to come into that place and furnish that agreement. And I'm asking the Lord for that ability. And I believe he probably is going to do that through a remnant, so you can understand why there's not so many. Because we have to be in agreement. Now, I don't know what to do about it when God shuts the heavens. But he has. The Old Testament was called Ichabod. He shut the heavens. The famine. This is God that has brought this famine in. And this drought. And that's because of how God's people treated the Word of God. They didn't hold to it. They didn't preach it. They didn't respect it. They didn't honor it. Now it's gone. I don't know what else to say to you. This new move of God will be just that. It's going to come outside the system. Totally. It will. As a remnant. I've got to close. My time's coming. I'm sorry. This message was very different. But it started with Matthew 18, Jerry got up and said what he said about two or three, all, and I know, I understand that, I do. But I also understand, I have a new understanding of agreement. I do. And I can tell you it isn't reached maybe the way we think in Christian circles, but I think some are going to come into an agreement with the Lord in these last days, and the Geshem rain is going to come. Then more people will be able to come into agreement with him, and more and more. And I don't think that it's going to be just a deluge, but it'll start with a great move. But as people come into it, the Lord will increase and increase and increase, but they have to be in agreement with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. I'm sorry to wander a little bit, but I felt this message was from the Lord. I did. Sobering. Lord, thank you. We're sober now, Lord. All of us are sober. We've already tried to bring this in, and we haven't been able to. But we're standing now, and we're asking you to come in a greater agreement with you for the Geshem rain, because we're gonna need it, the church is gonna need it, Israel's going to need it, Lord. And we pray, and I know that you're interceding. I know you're interceding way before us as a great intercessor. You're the one that will touch God for it, I know, but that we will come into an agreement with you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.